Brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow heirs of the Reformation, it might have been a day very much like this, when 462 years ago, a 34-year-old monk and professor of theology posted 95 theses on the Council Church Door in Wittenberg, the bulletin board of the university, where professors and students and other people in the town and around the city who might be visiting would look to see what was happening. It was the day before All Saints Day, a big holiday in both church and state. And this one was especially big and important because the Elector Frederick Savise was putting his very unusual and extensive collection of relics on display. And to top it off, the Archbishop had promised an indulgence for all who came to look at it. You can imagine the students buzzing about indulgences and about Frederick's display, talking perhaps about Johann Petzl, who in nearby Brandenburg was carrying out the order that the papal jubilee indulgence designed to build St. Peter's Basilica in Rome should be revived and encouraged. And then they strode to the Castle State Square and looked over the announcement for the day. There was this one that caught their eye, and they began to read. Out of love and zeal for truth, and the desire to bring it to light, the following theses will be publicly discussed at Wittenberg under the chairmanship of the Reverend Father Martin Luther, Master of Arts in Sacred Theology, and regularly appointed lecturer on these subjects at this place. He requests that those who cannot be present to debate orally will do so by letter. It's a very standard way of introducing the subject for disputation. But then they began to read, beginning with Thesis 1. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. And then they continued to read, as Martin Luther's thesis for debate called to the attention of one and all the system of penance and indulgences and satisfactions that governed the thinking of the church of that day, and which particularly distressed Luther and many others. But then finally, one came to Thesis 62. You wonder how many read that far, and you wonder what those who read that far really thought when they read these words: The true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. It occurs in a context where Luther is discussing the so-called Thesaurus Meritorum, or the treasury of merit, an idea that had been current in the church since the 13th century. It was stood for the collection of merit that Christ and the saints had performed and gained in excess of those needed for their own satisfaction, and which the Pope was free to dispense to the faithful through indulgences. And in that context, Luther's words, "The true treasure of the church is the gospel of the grace and glory of God," stands as something of a challenge to a system that had begun to think of God's dealings with men in mathematical and arithmetic terms, which placed more stress on man's deeds than on God, which had obliterated the very comfort as well as the power of the holy Christian church on earth. As we on this day praise God for using his servant Luther to restore to the church of that time and to leave us the legacy of God's word and of the holy gospel of the grace and glory of God for us and our generation, it is good, it seems to me, that we remind ourselves that it is not only the 16th century students at Wittenberg who were in need of this reminder, but the true treasure of the church is the holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. In our own day, there are forces within and without the church that would cause us to forget this great truth. There are the scholars who, in the name of historical methodology or historical metaphysics or suppositions of one kind or another actually challenge the very historical content of the gospel itself. There are those who continue to place greater stress on personal experience, personal decisions, subjective ideas of one kind or another, at the expense of the objective content of the gospel. There are those who allegorize the holy gospel of the grace and glory of God into good news for virtually any bad situation. But I suppose while we're pointing the finger and alerting ourselves on this day to forces that threaten to erode the gospel, we would be most unwise if we did not focus on ourselves. So it is true that even we, who are heirs of the Reformation and of this central truth, so often fail to preach it when we have the opportunity. We preach about it, but we don't preach it, or we don't live it, or we say some other theological word or term when we should be saying gospel. It has failed to rule in the lives and hearts of our theology and our Christian witness in the way it should. But most devastating of all is what this erosion of the gospel can do to you and me in our own house and lives, in our own faith relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, on this day, as we praise God for recovering for the church this great truth about the holy gospel of God as the true treasure of the church, let us impress upon ourselves first and foremost that that holy gospel is for you and for me. God did send his Son into this world to live your life for you. He died your death for you. He rose from the grave for you. He daily offers to you and to me and all believers in his holy Christian church the forgiveness of sin, of life, of salvation. No longer need you or I feel guilty before God, feel lacking in any good thing because of his life and his death and his resurrection for you. Let us praise God for that great fact of our own existence, even as we praise God for his servant Martin Luther and the solemn reminder that the true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the grace and glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.